This summit has explicitly singled out Britain's return to growth in the communique. More importantly, the whole G20 has endorsed our priorities for economic recovery. All 20 countries have signed up to the St. Petersburg Action Plan, which contains all the features of the plan that we've been following in Britain since the coalition government came to office. In particular, it emphasizes the importance of dealing with our debts, the role of monetary policy to support growth, and the need for long-term reforms to boost growth and trade and to cut the red tape that too often holds back business investment and job creation. This summit has also taken forward the bold pro-business agenda that I set out at the G8 in Lockern on what I call the three T's: tax, transparency and trade. On tax, the Lockern Declaration said that tax authorities right across the world should automatically share information so that those who want to evade taxes have nowhere to hide. This has now been adopted by the whole G20 with a single global standard to be finalised by February next year. Crucially, we are making sure this won't be restricted to advanced economies, with a clear commitment to show how developing countries can participate in sharing tax information and in the process build their capacity to collect their taxes. On transparency, Lockern said that companies should really know who actually owns them, and tax collectors and law enforcers should be able to obtain this information easily, so people can't aggressively avoid taxes by using complicated and fake structures. Britain has led this initiative from the front, including with our own Crown dependencies and overseas territories, every one of which now has an action plan. Again, this is now being taken forward across the whole G20 through the adoption of international standards. On the third of the three T's, trade, we also made some significant progress. One of the most significant hard-fought achievements at previous G20s has been the commitment to resist new protectionist measures. This has never been easy, and it wasn't easy this time either. But we've not just maintained that commitment, we've extended it by a further 2 years to the end of 2016. Finally, strong global growth also depends on helping the poorest countries to lift themselves out of poverty. And the G20 today agreed to welcome the vision for eliminating world poverty set out in the report from the UN high-level panel that I co-chaired together with the presidents of Indonesia and Liberia. Let me turn to Syria. This summit was never going to reach agreement on what action is needed on Syria. But the case made by those countries who believe we have to take a stand against the use of chemical weapons was, I believe, extremely powerful. President Obama has set out that case again at this summit, and I will support his efforts to build international support for upholding the international taboo against the use of chemical weapons. Britain has at this summit made available additional evidence of cloth and soil samples which underline the now overwhelming picture of a war crime on the 21st of August this year. I believe I was right to take a strong stance on chemical weapons and to take that to the British Parliament. But I also understand and respect what the UK Parliament has said, so Britain will not be part of any military action. Because we were never going to reach agreement at this summit, I thought it was right to focus on something we could do, building the strongest possible international commitment on humanitarian aid. Inside Syria, 6.8 million are in need of humanitarian assistance. 60% of hospitals, 4,000 schools have been damaged or destroyed. This is the humanitarian crisis the world and our generation faces, and I'm determined that the world takes the action to deal with it. 4 million people are struggling to feed themselves, and at the same time, aid convoys simply can't get through to areas that are under siege because of the fighting, and most major routes between large populations are too insecure to use. So this morning I organised a special meeting with the UN Secretary General, the EU, Japan, Turkey, Canada, France, Australia, Italy, Saudi Arabia and America. We agreed to work together through the UN to secure unfettered humanitarian access inside Syria. This includes secure priority humanitarian routes to ensure that the convoys can get through. It includes humanitarian pauses to ensure aid reaches the most war-torn areas of the country and that the sick and the wounded can be evacuated safely. And it includes lifting the bureaucratic obstacles like customs rules, which make it hard for aid workers to deliver that vital relief on the ground. We've also challenged the world to respond to the call from the United Nations to make up the shortfall in humanitarian assistance by the time the world gathers in New York at the United Nations General Assembly later this month. We've led by example and started the drumbeat towards that meeting today. We also agreed to increase the focus of the humanitarian assistance on support specifically designed to help with the dreadful impact of chemical weapons. Now, this includes providing medicines, decontamination tents, medical and emergency response training. And as part of this effort, the UK is today announcing an additional £52 million. Canada has pledged an additional $45 million. Italy a further $50 million. And it's not just countries here at this summit responding to the call. The Qataris have already said that they will match the UK's contribution. And as I say, that drumbeat will build to make sure the world fulfills its responsibilities when it comes together in UNGA in September. Britain is proud of its track record in humanitarian assistance, and today a formidable coalition of countries have stood with us in sending a strong message to the world that we cannot stand by while the people of Syria suffer.